Now live from Super Bowl 49 in Phoenix, Arizona, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. We are live from the Phoenix Convention Center. First of five broadcast days for Jaguars Today. Frank Frangie, Rick Ballew will be along this afternoon. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Fresh off a good night's sleep, Tony.
A good night's sleep. Assuming the other guys found the hotel room, yeah. They'll be back here later this afternoon.
I don't know anything about what's going on with that whole situation. I have no idea where Rick Ballew disappeared to last night, although I have some pretty good ideas. Mm-hmm. I just don't know the name of the gentlemen's clubs in Arizona.
I don't either. I think we passed one this morning that was called the Pink Rhino.
Did we?
As we were on our way in. I did notice that. It was still there were still cars in the parking lot at 6 a.m.
Yeah, Ballew strikes me more as a cab guy.
All night long.
I don't think he's renting. Frangie had a layover of 4 hours. Way to go, seasoned traveler. We got on the plane. We had a layover of about 2 minutes in Atlanta. It was perfect. Hop on the plane. Fall right to sleep. At least I did. You wake up. At least I sleep with the seat as reclined as it'll go.
Yeah.
But inevitably, I will wake up. And my head is just hanging forward. And one of these days, my neck is just going to snap when we hit a little turbulence. But we came in and got set up yesterday, ran around Phoenix. We now know the ins and outs of the light rail system in Phoenix.
Yes, we do.
Probably as well as any visitor to the Phoenix metro area. It is really nice, actually. They got a little train that runs right through Phoenix down into Mesa and Tempe and all these areas, and it's cheap as can be. You can ride it all day for $4.
Yeah, it's nice. You get to experience the local culture while you're on the rail system as well.
Yeah, this guy on the train yesterday.
Yeah.
You got old lady comes on. There's a sign that says, give up your seat if you're in a certain section to, older people, disabled people, people that have trouble standing, whatever.
Right.
And she looks at the guy. She goes, you're supposed to get up and give me your seat. And he goes, yeah, there's no room for me to get up.
It was ridiculous.
And fortunately, Tony and I were already standing.
Yeah.
Or we would have gladly given up our seat, but somebody on the other side quickly stood up. The kid, right. And she was giving him the evil eye the whole time. I thought she was going to throw down the old lady, and I would have backed her up. That was not the best impression of Phoenix.
No.
In the first few minutes of being on the ground. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, but all week long we're brought to you, and our coverage will be brought to you primarily by our friends at St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, as they've done for a number of years now. Tony, I was counting it up. I think this is 10 Super Bowls for me. This is kind of a milestone. Started with the Jacksonville Super Bowl, and I think the only one I've missed since then was Detroit. So if I've got my numbers right, 10 or 11 Super Bowls, I'm going to have to go back and look. I've actually forgotten. I'm like, how many have there been in Miami since then? How many in Tampa? I don't know. I know there have been several in South Florida.
So you didn't want to go watch the Steelers win? Was that it? You just didn't want to see them beat Seattle.
Was that the one?
Because it was the bus going home. That was the big storyline.
No wonder Frangie went to that one.
Yeah.
Up in Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I did not go. It wasn't that. It was just Detroit. It was, it was a long trip. I was in the mode of, traveling for the Super Bowl at that point in time. The Jacksonville Super Bowl was the first time I ever worked Radio Row.
Right.
A little over a decade ago. So, Radio Row, by the way, Tyler asked us this morning, what's it look like? Is it busy? No, it's dead, which it always is Monday morning. In fact, pretty much all day today, it's dead. Radio Row really has become a three-day event. More than anything, right?
No, it has.
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are spectacular. You get the who's who of the current and the former NFL players, coaches, front office brass, big names that made the sport, all that stuff. And, of course, Tuesday is media day. So you don't want to get in. I mean, you could conceivably get in today and not miss much. But you at least want to be in for media day, which tomorrow the Patriots will be gathering at 10:30 local time. I'm stuck between Mountain Time and Eastern Time, Tony.
Yeah.
That I have been for about 2 weeks planning arrangements for the trip. So that'll be around, 12:30 Eastern will be the Patriots session. That'll last an hour. They'll have a 45-minute break, at which point you'll be deluged by tweets about Deflategate, I'm sure, and the Patriot reaction to that, because those questions are coming in droves tomorrow. And I assume the same thing for the Seahawks. They'll deal with it, too.
Sure.
What do you think about the Patriots controversies going on last night? Speaking of the Seahawks, Is there any love loss for Seattle in the city of Phoenix, Arizona?
Holy cow.
Oh, my goodness. Man, there are a lot of Seahawks fans representing, a lot of Patriot fans representing, too.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of both teams already this week. It was kind of cool, you know, we went to the Pro Bowl for the first time last night. It was both of our first Pro Bowls, and it was kind of neat being around the city. Like, we've been in the cities where the Pro Bowl was being held the week before, but we didn't really go around any of the action. And yesterday was kind of neat. I mean, it was buzzing downtown where we were just because the fans that were around for some of the events that they had centered around the Pro Bowl. The crowd was crazy good for a Pro Bowl last night.
I mean, we've never been to one, but we've seen it on TV when it's in Honolulu.
You would assume from, like, away, you know, like in Jacksonville, when's the last time I even cared about sitting down to watch 2 minutes of a Pro Bowl? I mean, it's been a long time since I've cared at all about that game, and to watch that stadium get filled up, essentially, for them to come watch a Pro Bowl was pretty impressive. And like you said, a lot of Arizona fans obviously at the game because they get the opportunity to go to the game here locally, and they introduced the Seahawks Pro Bowlers that weren't playing in the game, obviously, because they're playing in the Super Bowl next Sunday afternoon. But as soon as those guys showed up on the screen, the fans started booing. They were interviewing on the sideline for
hear a word they were saying.
For the entire 2 minutes of that interview, you couldn't hear anything but boos.
It was crazy. Quieted down. I mean, whatever decibel level they hit, they maintained it. It was a pretty impressive feat.
If not, got louder.
Right. And of course, the Patriots weren't there. They're traveling in today. Last night when we left the Pro Bowl, we were on a bus. The driver was actually, he said, one of the regular bus drivers for the Patriots from Foxborough. And, you know, that's what they do. They bring in drivers and people all over town. You'd be amazed at how many buses and shuttles they use to get people around the Phoenix area. But the Patriots are coming today, and they're worried because the storm is getting ready to whack the northeast.
2 feet of snow they're talking about up
there. Right, which is surprising we even know that because it's happening outside the bubble of our
existence. I saw it in the Atlanta airport. That's the only reason I know.
Well, and it does basically, it could impact the Super Bowl in just the travel plans of the Patriots. After today, you're on your own shoveling out up there because we won't know what's going on.
No.
Hacker's going to ask me a question midweek. He's going to say, guys, what do you make of this story about... I'm going to say, Hack, did it happen on Radio Row? Because if it didn't, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. So, again, thanks to St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church for making the trip possible and big supporters of a number of charities. We've been raising money the last few years for the Ronald McDonald House with this trip out here. This year, Wilson's Children's Hospital, which is near and dear to my heart, they saved a young relative of mine's life, the way I consider it. Had a brain tumor. They operated on him, saved his eyesight, all kinds of bad scenarios of how that thing could have gone. I love Wilson's Children's Hospital, so we're going to write a big fat check to Wilson's at the end of the week, thanks to the sponsorship from St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church. And as well, keep on the lookout for Greek Fest, Jacksonville Greek Fest coming up in late April. We'll give you exact dates and specifics on that. It's going to be at the fairgrounds. We'll tell you all about that as the week goes along as well. Yesterday, Tony, we find out Josh Gordon is suspended again, and I guess now for drinking, which violated the terms of his NFL kind of probation, maybe his legal probation, whatever. He had the DUI. He's been suspended for another season. And don't tell me every Jaguar fan wasn't thinking, well, this is why I can't count on Justin Blackmon. They're their own person. They're individuals. One guy's not the same guy, but people who make bad decisions or fall into a pattern of addiction, it's hard to break that cycle. I'm hoping for the best for Justin Blackmon. I've heard nothing to suggest that he's had any kind of setback or anything like that since we heard he went into rehab. But it just, I think, is a reminder that you can't take anything for granted, that these guys, you know, even once they get back on the field, and they realize if one more misstep and it's all going to be taken away from you. Couldn't stop Josh Gordon from making that misstep.
No, couldn't stop him. And, look, there's an interesting discussion, I think, to be had about the stands that the NFL is willing to make right now with its players. Look, we talked an entire week about the Flategate, and we don't know what the outcome or fallout of that's going to be yet. And there are some, if you ask them, like Richard Sherman, that think nothing's going to happen to the New England Patriots. I don't think that's how this whole thing is going to wind up. But you look at events like that, you look at... This is a league that is fining players because of the color on the bottom of their spikes. I mean, they are so intent on just keeping everybody in line, you know. And now we have a guy who's one of the biggest stars in the league at his position that may have his entire career derailed because he enjoys booze. Like, he enjoys a legal thing to enjoy, and maybe he overindulged and had a test where it showed that he had been drinking booze. The league, there's a disconnect that is forming between the league and the fans as far as what they're punishing these players for. I get that marijuana is illegal, so if they want to take a stand on that, I get that part of it. The alcohol thing makes zero sense to me, unless we are talking about Josh Gordon getting pulled over for another DUI, which he's already been in trouble with before, which is why he's in the program for this too. But unless that is what you're talking about, DUI, I don't get this. I really don't.
I disagree with you because, to me, you're setting up a set of parameters. It's much like if you're in court, right? And you're on probation, you're paroled, and here are the things, one of the things you can't do, you can't associate with known criminals, right? As I say that, Ryan O'Halloran's getting ready to sit down. Okay. you can't drink alcohol, you can't do this, you can't do that. And if you test positive, they're gonna revoke your probation, right? They're gonna throw you back in jail, right? It's kind of the same thing to me. I'm not saying that the legal consequences should necessarily be the same, but Tony, he's aware of what he can and can't do.
No, I get that. Look, I'm not saying that Josh Gordon was in the right. He knew what he couldn't do. He broke the rules, and now he's going to have to pay whatever punishment the league's going to hand down. Looks like another one-year suspension, and who knows if he can come back from this one. He got off a little light with the last one because of the new CBA, essentially. But I think that the fans look at something like this, and they say, really? Really? We're going to lose Josh Gordon as a player in this league because he drinks?
My reaction to it yesterday was Josh Gordon is a knucklehead.
He's a knucklehead, and there needs to be a discussion about what the NFL is and isn't policing with its players.
We just spent the last 2 weeks talking about how much pounds per square inch of air is in a football.
Yeah.
This doesn't even come close to rising to that level of absurdity to me. And again, speaking of absurdity, Ryan O'Halloran coming up in mere minutes.
Hey,
how was the Royal Rumble last night?
Disappointing.
Was it? Hold on. Give us a full update on that. We had our own semi-sporting event that we took in last night. Which one was more fake, the Pro Bowl or the Royal Rumble?
The Pro Bowl, actually, I had both on. So, by the way, the picture of Martino took you two looked like the Griswolds. You're like, all right, we better stand for a picture.
Was that it? Was it that awkward? Oh, that's awful. Tony and I are not good picture takers, by
Apparently
the way.
Not.
I've heard I made Martino look like he was 3 feet tall yesterday. There was a shot of the two of us.
I don't doubt it.
Making the rounds on Twitter. All right. Super Bowl swag bag year 3 or 4 on the Super Bowl swag bag. Something like that.
3.
We'll call it year 3 on the Super Bowl swag bag. We'll tell you coming up in a minute how you can win this year's swag bag, and which basically includes a copy of all the free junk that we get throughout the course of the week because we're media and I guess they want us to speak well of the city of Phoenix. Stop having jerks on the train, not giving up their seat to old ladies. That would be a good start. Okay, that will not make the swag bag. We'll do that coming up. Ryan O'Halloran's going to visit with us, and we'll see what we can catch up with and get started here on this Monday morning, first day live from Radio Row. Our coverage brought to you by St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, and Monday's brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold, live from Super Bowl 49. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, live in the Phoenix Convention Center for Radio Row. Super Bowl 49, the big milestone coming up next year. This year, you didn't realize, Ryan, there was actually, as Ryan O'Halloran, four times unions here with
Super
us.
Super Bowl loser next year.
Right, Super Bowl L next year. This year they were talking about trying to, I don't know, maybe just use the number 49, the Arabic numeral 49, instead of the Roman numeral, because it says Xlix, and they thought people would not be able to handle that. So
I'm looking for a...
For a sign that
there
says
it is.
X-Lix?
X-L-I-X.
Yeah, X-L-I-X. That's what you got. And they figured the immature media would not be able to handle that.
The fact
that I brought it up may be backing them up.
Well, it's one thing we always weigh in the paper is do we go Super Bowl or we do Super Bowl numeral 49 or the Roman numerals? I sort of tend to just say Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl, sure.
Yeah.
Or you could say...
Or 49th Super Bowl.
I think the 49th Super Bowl or even the regular number, because I think if you go with the Roman numeral, I don't know how many people at a glance are going to know what the hell that's saying anyway.
Yeah.
Once you start getting into the L and the D and all that, the X everybody can handle, the V, the I, the rest of it. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking about me.
No, no. I mean, for your guys' sake, you just go 49.
Yeah, sure. Super Bowl 49. But,
we're not
we don't
writing
go XLIX.
What are you kidding me?
But,
right, we don't write a damn thing.
But by the way, Radio Row, a little more spacious than last year.
It was, but I kind of liked that last year, that tunnel effect that we had, because it forces everybody.
Everybody
in
had to
area.
Walk by everybody.
Right, they had to be in your area. Here's what I'm curious about. We've got, we'll paint the picture here for people. There are four or five main areas of radio stations. We're in Section D, which probably is for dunts or something like that. We're on the outskirts of town here. You've got the NFL Network set in the middle. You've got the Sirius XM NFL radio set in the back. You've got the Fan from New York, because they have to be ostentatious, have their own square acre of footage over here behind you.
Yeah.
And then off to the side, there's a big open doorway to the Fan Gallery, okay?
I wonder what that is.
Is it going to be a stampede? That's just like, you know, kind of an interactive thing. You could go in there, check out some different things. Like they have headless action figures of every team. You stand behind it, you put your head in, it looks like you're, you know, taking pictures. Fans enjoy that kind of thing. I'm curious, though, are they just going to come wandering into our inner sanctum here on Radio Row?
Yeah, it looks like it's leaning that way. I mean, there wasn't a lot of people at the door, let's put it that way.
No.
But and they also, you know, my first comment about the Arizona Super Bowl committee, they don't know their ass from their face.
Is that right?
Radio Row.
No. When it comes, I don't know if it's a Super Bowl committee.
You got to find somebody that's wearing a vest. Wherever you are, the shirt that says staff is not enough. You need a vested staff.
The red shirt staffers,
not good.
Not very good.
No.
So far on Super Bowl. I will, later this week, maybe I will rank all the things that tick me off about this Super Bowl compared to my past 10 or so Super Bowls that I've got to. I know everyone will look forward to that with great anticipation.
Oh, I'm sure.
Pro Bowl last night, Tony tweeted out, he was having a great time, then they kicked the game off. it was never really on my bucket list, like I must go to the Pro Bowl, but, you know. When in Rome, we complain about all this stuff. Hey, would you like to go to the Pro Bowl? Sure, let's go to the Pro Bowl. Check it out. It was exactly what we thought it would be.
Yeah.
Patty cake football.
Yeah, and, you know, it looked like, judging by TV, they should continue this, because just the amount of people that showed up. They don't want to be on TV with empty seats.
It was packed.
Because it's tackle football, they're going to sell tickets. But if I'm the league, I'm on to something here, is, you know, great. It's great for the players and whatever to go be in Hawaii for half a week. But you want a good look for the TV screens,
right?
And a packed stadium is that.
Right. The week of stuff looks good when you're out on the beach doing different things. You're doing all the different venues. All the broadcasters dress up in the wine gear. It has a certain feel to it. I get that. But you're right. The attendance was dwindling as far as that went. Although I did see John McClain of the Houston Chronicle tweet out yesterday that he heard it's going back to Honolulu next year, which typically makes the players happy. They want to go to Hawaii. They don't want to come to the desert. There won't be as many withdrawals due to injury, probably, in Honolulu.
And Jags guys will be ineligible.
Look, if you live in Vegas, you live anywhere in the Southwest, stop that. If you live in, well, because they're being
be
in Super
Bowl.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right.
Tony got that right away.
I got it.
If you live in this area, though, and you're a Packer fan, when are you going to see the Packers? Maybe once every 4 years?
Yeah, that was the draw. Is like, you know, this is a very, what's the right word? A lot of people from other places live here, if that, you know. So,
yes.
So you saw a ton of jerseys around town yesterday when you were just getting here. So, you know, I'm sure the tickets were reasonably priced. So that's who it was for.
Let's talk a little bit about Jag stuff this offseason. Tony and I, before we came on today, we're kind of talking about, boy, where would this franchise be had they taken my advice and drafted Johnny Manziel with the third pick in the draft? You just look, and Blake Bortles didn't have an eye-popping statistical rookie season. But as far as doing the things that you want a franchise quarterback to do and conducting himself like a franchise quarterback, if his play catches up to that, he's going to be just fine. He's going to conduct a passing camp out in San Diego, gather his guys together. It's a veteran move by a very young player.
Yeah, and you know, I'll give the Jags credit, is if they would have taken Manziel, it would have been later in that round. They would have tried to, like, even move up like Cleveland did. But just talking to people in the organization, when they brought Manziel in, you know, basically a lot of the interview process was him saying, I'm going to change. Whereas Bortles came in there and said, this is what I'm going to do, X, Y, and Z, because I've been doing it already. So you could, they could tell the difference in, okay, who's best prepared to lead them when they get in, get become a starter halfway through the season or earlier. They thought Bortles that guy, in addition to the pro-style offense, et cetera. But, you know, talking to Blake last week, he's already, you know, he was in a stall mode because he didn't know who his coordinator was going to be.
Right.
He doesn't know who his quarterback coach could be. That could still change this week. So, you know, I think it's a positive step. I mean, get all those guys out there and just for the camaraderie's sake, because you don't really get a chance to do that in season as much.
Yeah, and, you know, you had so many guys, particularly in the wide receiver group, that were hurt last summer. Once you get into the season, if you're not, you know, you're not getting the same reps, if you're not a first-teamer, if you're further down the depth chart, you're not getting as much one-on-one time with your quarterback. This gives them all the time they want to work on timing. Just have that feeling of chemistry that you can build.
And that's like, you look at last summer, the injuries of Robinson and Lee, that propelled Allen Hurns to get all those first team reps.
Sure.
And, you know, then he kept doing it when the regular season started with Henny and then Bortles.
It's been a while since Allen Robinson's caught a pass from Blake Bortles. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it'd be nice to have that extra time to fall back on. In the off season, in a low pressure environment, do whatever you want. Same thing for Marquise Lee. Hopefully, all these guys take him up on it. And
it's almost like if you don't,
you look like a chump. You look like you're not taking it seriously.
Yeah,
right?
Because when I ask the quarterback 2 months from now, how did it go out there, he's going to tell me.
Sure.
If a guy was a no show,
right.
So show up.
Right. Well, it's very similar, isn't it, Tony? To, you know, this voluntary off season.
Yeah.
Kind of
oh,
stuff.
Yeah.
We got a voluntary minicamp.
But everyone
kind of perfect attendance.
Shakes their head when
that
one guy doesn't show. I mean, we talked about Clemens how much at a voluntary minicamp this offseason. But, yeah, I mean, it'll be good to see these guys get together in the offseason. I forget what exactly you told us last week. What's the timetable with Blake as far as when he can get a playbook or have a conversation with Olsen and figure out how to get this thing started?
Well, I think it's April 1st around there. Officially, but you know, there could be an email sent or a phone call, stuff like that. So
what if there's a dead drop or something in the park? Could Greg Olsen you know, have a subordinate maybe leave a note,
iPad with a parachute
perhaps? So, what are you, Hunger Games?
But,
is this a Hunger Games reference?
But you know, the official stuff is where, you know, the full offense is, like, you know, in the spring. But you know, they don't seem worried about that because there's going to be some carryover. And also, he's basically at 6 week head start from what he did last year. All those guys did last year. You know, May 15th is when they came in after the draft. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, you can't really base on what Olsen's did in the past, but it'll be interesting to see what kind of wrinkles are implemented for Bortles' sake and the other guys.
Ryan O'Halloran here with us from the Florida Times Union at Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter. We came all the way to the desert, could not escape him, despite our best efforts. What are you going to do, like, for you, for your angle? For us at Media Day, we're just going to look for, you know, like Brian Stork played at Florida State. You always look for guys that played at University of Florida or Miami or Georgia, something that has a decent fan base in Jacksonville. Seek those guys out. You're not going to get any one-on-one time with Tom Brady, but do you put yourself in those big, almost mini press conference situations with the big-name guys because you want to hear what they're saying? Do you seek out your own kind of side stories that might relate to your Jacksonville audience? How are you going to approach it?
Well, almost for sure avoid the big guys because there's no point in that. What I like to do for these days is talk to position coaches, coordinators, guys that know a guy I know. So that's a nice little icebreaker. And then I can start talking about some free agents and stuff. So you're also looking ahead. And then you got, you know, Stork's obviously a storyline. Cliff Averill's a local guy. He's the only local guy from the Jacksonville area in the game. So he's somebody to talk to, something to write about. And then also one thing I like to do during this week is talk to guys, about matchups. Is you can write the personality profiles and what other stuff, but, you know, what's Cam Chancellor saying about Rob Gronkowski? What, who's gonna, how are the Patriots gonna, like, pressure Russell Wilson? So that's one thing that I like concentrating on this week. And, you know, then as you get later in the week, you have some more of the, a couple of Jags probably coming into town, so you talk to them. So, I'm trying to, the flake gate is the most overblown.
But you know it's coming.
It's coming because, you know, it's a worldwide event. But I thought Belichick was awesome on Saturday, so he'll be awesome again tonight.
Well, I'll say, when you get, you know, you have an hour, you have 60 minutes for the entire assembled media to talk to one team at a time. So if you get 3 minutes with a guy, that can be a long time setting. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of my 3 to 4 minute periods talking about the flake game. You know what I mean? I mean, what are the Patriots going to say? You know, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
Belichick.
But, you know, the other thing is there's no ex-Jags on these teams.
Right.
Usually you can always count on an ex-player being there. But,
we did see Justin Forsett last night.
Yes, we did.
Just eat our hearts out. How did that, what, just, makes no sense. What are you going to do? Blake's going to be here Wednesday. Blake Bortles will be in. I've been told Denard Robinson's coming. Jonathan Cyprian's coming. I think Mercedes Lewis. Toby Gerhart was thinking about it. I don't think he's going to make the trip out this year. Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell will not be coming to Phoenix, I've been told.
Gus is going on vacation.
You know,
because he was supposed to go early in January, but he was busy with something else.
I mean, look, he was looking for assistant coaches, had the Senior Bowl done, whatever. Right? You know, they don't need to come out here. We'll talk to those guys next week in Jacksonville. But Shad Khan's going to be in town on Thursday. I don't know if he's making it to Radio Row, but I'm sure wherever he is, you will find him.
That's the hope. You know, that's been the last two Super Bowl years. You know, you find some time to get to the owner. One thing I want to talk to Shad about is his involvement in these hires. A lot of scuttlebutt around the league that he was heavily, heavily involved in the Doug Marrone hire. And that would be interesting because he hasn't really been involved in assistant coach hires since I've started covering the team. So, if so, what was his angle on that? Did he feel Gus needs some experience of a head coach on the staff? You know, did he need some expertise on offense, et cetera? So that's one of the things I definitely want to talk to Sean about.
Tony, I ran into a guy yesterday from Rochester.
Yeah.
Upstate New York who said,
I'm guessing not good.
He said, oh, Jacksonville. He goes, yeah, good luck with Marrone. He goes, in all honesty, hell of a coach. He said, really good coach, that in his opinion, but a lot of people are salty, obviously, about the way I left. And I said to him, look, I get that, but if a player had the option to void his contract, still get paid, and hit free agency, how many of those players would not take that option? I think a lot of them would. He was in the same spot. Whatever.
Obviously, there was some chemistry issues there that
sure.
He didn't feel comfortable with his first impression of new ownership. And so, you know, and it's, you know, I don't think he pursued any coordinator jobs. I think he maybe just won. If he wanted to stay in the league for a year or two, just do his area of expertise as a way to get back to be a head coach.
Keep his name out there. He's already cashing a big check this year. Doesn't really matter. Be all set with that. All right, Ryan O'Halloran, I hesitate to call you a guest. You're a co-host.
Contributor.
First contributor of the week here on Jaguars Today.
Are you guys having any guests today?
We'll probably have a few, a couple maybe. It's just, you know, you look around you. Maybe we'll grab Mike Jarecki from Extra Sports 910. He is the unofficial mayor of Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you know that.
Get that right.
We'll see how that goes. And
we've done that dance before, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
Had the unofficial guide to whatever city we're in just so we can find out where the best oysters are or whatever.
Yeah. We want to know where to eat, where to drink.
You guys are seated next to ESPN 980 in Washington, D.C., who I also used to get a paycheck from.
Nice. So maybe you should sit right between the two tables.
Worlds are colliding.
I could do segment to segment.
Maybe we'll simulcast with those guys. All right, Ryan. We appreciate you were up already.
Yeah.
We appreciate you spending a good half hour of your time finding Radio Row once you got to the convention center this morning.
Now I know where to come.
There he goes. Thank you. There he is, Ryan O'Halloran, at Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter. All right, swag bag, all details, I promise you, right after this timeout.
Yeah,
how
baby.
How can you win the third annual Super Bowl swag bag, which includes all the free crap Tony and I can carry back from Arizona?
Already some cool stuff in there.
There is a few cool items in there. I don't think those cookies are going to make it.
No, cookies aren't going to make it. No.
Those were delicious. It was quite a nice little box lunch they had for us last night at the Pro Bowl. But we'll tell you so far what's in it, what kind of stuff you can expect to be in it, and how you have a chance to get your greedy little paws on it. We'll do that next here on Jaguars Today. Again, our coverage all week long brought to you by our friends at St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, raising money all week for the Wilson's Children's Hospital. And it is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today, live from Super Bowl 49 in Phoenix, Arizona, is brought to you by St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, proud supporter of Wolfson Children's Hospital on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
All right, glad you're with us today on Monday of Radio Row, Super Bowl 49 coming up next Sunday, of course. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today, traveling on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday at the Phoenix Convention Center, brought to you all week long by our friends at St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church. They cover a lot of the expenses to make this trip possible every year. Now, swag bag, Tony.
Yeah.
Because you know how I am. I say, oh, coming up next, and then I don't do it, and then coming up next. Then at the last 2 minutes of the show, I tell you about something. Right? Not going to happen this time, right now. Swag bag, basically, you know, we're spoiled rotten. Are we not spoiled rotten?
Oh, we definitely are.
I looked at you last night at the Pro Bowl. I'm like, you know what? In the end, it doesn't really suck that we get shuttled from the hotel to the convention center, mm-hmm. where we get another shuttle that takes us to the Pro Bowl, where we're given free food and beverages, not alcoholic beverages. Those were going not exactly cheap, as you can imagine, yesterday. You know, a little lunch, seat, a desk to work on right there mm-hmm. in the stadium, internet capability, got all the whatever. We're just treated so well. They give us all kinds of free stuff all week long just because they want us to speak well of the machine that is the National Football League and the city of Phoenix and all that stuff. So with that, last night we got Pro Bowl programs, for instance. You know, just those collectors programs, things like that.
Yeah.
We've picked up a few odds and ends already. We get all kinds of weird stuff, sleeves of golf balls, just who knows what. If the whole thing comes together, it may be worth $100. If you could piece it out, I don't even know if that's accurate. But whatever we can get our hands on, it's kind of cool, particularly if you're a fan of one of the teams in the game, which I don't know how big a following either of these teams have in Jacksonville, although I think the Patriot fans outnumber the Seahawks fans, just because anecdotally, I see a lot more Patriot colors throughout the course of the season. Don't you?
Yeah, I mean, Seattle's probably not as much of a national fan base as the Patriots.
Right.
Still. But you did see a lot of Seahawks fans here in town yesterday. And, look, it doesn't matter. We're just trying to give you a taste of what it's like to be a member of the media.
Yes.
Just a taste.
Free junk.
Right. You don't get the experience of the whole week because we can't do that for you, but we'll let you experience.
We're not so inclined to do that for you.
Some of the residual effects of being able to be here for the week.
All you have to do, you can tweet me, you can post on the Facebook page, or you can email me, one of those three. Don't call in with any predictions. We don't want any of that. It's the standard go-to contest for me. Give us the winner of the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
Patriots or Seahawks. That's the first criteria. Then predict one thing that will happen during the game. It could be simple. It could be Tom Brady will complete a pass to Rob Gronkowski. Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
It has to happen. Both things have to happen. The person you pick to win the game, the team you pick to win the game, and the prediction both have to come true. Then we take the stack of entries that have both conditions covered, and we take the prediction that we deem to be the least likely to have occurred. That's why, well, Brady to Gronkowski, that's almost 99.99% likely
sure.
to happen. Two pick sixes. Brady throws two pick sixes. Very slim chance
Very slim.
Of that happening. And we are the only judges on this. Our word is final. There's no, we're not going to go to the Vegas odds, although we,
no.
from time to time, have done that.
And keep in mind when you're making your prediction that both have to happen. It doesn't matter if you get the game right. If your prediction is so crazy that it doesn't happen, then you're out.
Then it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
Some people will say, Rob Gronkowski is going to have 193 yards and two touchdowns. Exactly 100. Well, you could say 100 yards plus and two touchdowns. Give yourself a chance
yeah.
is the idea. Tweet me at MD_1010XL. Go to the Facebook.com/Jaguars Today page. There is a thread on the page that will be pinned to the top all week. If you post outside of the thread on the Facebook page, I don't even see it. I'm not going to look. It's got to be in that thread. Or email Mike D at 1010XL.com. Winner of the game one prediction on something that will happen. We'll remind you about that throughout the course of the week. And you,
one,
too, can feel like a member of the media and be faded with free junk.
Yeah. One prediction.
Long.
Don't send three things you think is going to happen. One prediction.
One prediction.
Send more than one, you're
things,
done.
He just said it. Send more than one, you're done. Okay? One prediction, and you can only enter one time as well.
Yep.
So send those in. Obviously, we can't determine a winner until next week.
Last year, we had a
gets all the stuff.
Ton of people get in on this contest. I want to say that when I was going through it the Monday after the Super Bowl, that I was going through something like 170 entries.
Right, and it ended up with about five that hit both conditions.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 50-50 on who wins the game, so that eliminates half of them, and then the prediction people usually get ridiculous, you know? Although last year would have been a good one. And, in fact, might have been the winner with the safety.
A lot that happened, yeah.
The safety might have been the winner, and you had that on the first play of the game, for goodness sake. So that's how you get in with that. All right, time now for this date in football history, brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville, January 26, 1992. Washington defeats Buffalo 37-24 in Super Bowl 26. Mark Rippon in that game, passing for 292 and two touchdowns as the Redskins win their third Super Bowl in 10 years. And Joe Gibbs wins his third Super Bowl with his third different quarterback in that same period of time, which, you know, really is one of the more remarkable feats. It, you know, not to take anything away from Bill Walsh, but when you've got Joe Montana,
sure,
that's gives you a leg up on the competition year in, year out.
And considering how quarterback dependent we've seen this league be, especially when it comes to Super Bowl teams, I mean, you look at what's happened with the Super Bowls just in the last 15 years. There's a handful of guys that have won Super Bowl championships, and for a coach to take three different guys to that kind of height, it tells you how good he was at building a roster and running a system and continuing to find ways to win over and over again.
All right, this date in football history, we did our first broadcast of Super Bowl 49 Radio Row. They'll be talking about that for years to come.
I'm sure they will.
On this date in the future. All right, that is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, you remember after the NFC Championship game when it looked like Richard Sherman was going to be playing it cool. He was kind of calm in the locker room. Well, now it's Super Bowl week, and it's time for one of the loudest talkers in the league to start talking. The Seahawks had their first media availability yesterday here in Phoenix, and Sherman had some pointed things to say, specifically about Deflategate and potential punishments for the New England Patriots. Sherman, when asked whether he thought that the Pats would be punished, had this to say: will they be punished? Probably not. Not as long as Robert Kraft and Roger Goodell are still taking pictures of their respective homes. You talk about conflict of interest, as long as that happens, it won't affect them at all. Nothing will stop them. The NFL and YouTube have finally come to an agreement. The NFL will have its own channel on the website, which is really the only reason I go to NFL.com anyway now, is when I need to find a highlight or pull some kind of audio like that.
So you no longer need to do that.
No, so maybe I won't have to go to the site again, except perhaps to check out Daniel Jeremiah and whatever he's talking about with some kind of mock draft news.
Good
but,
point.
But other than that, no, I may never go to that website again because it is the worst in the universe.
We need a graphics-friendly page of just Daniel Jeremiah. And I don't even need any graph. I just need a text page of his mock drafts,
yeah,
and his analysis, and that's it.
At least on Twitter I can just click, and I don't have to go through that homepage nonsense. NFL.com is the worst.
It will shut you down,
yeah,
is what it does. Mike Jarecki is here with us from Fox Sports 910 in Phoenix. Are you kind of the mayor of the city for this week? You're the mayor of Radio Row, at least, right?
Well, I mean, last year I missed the Super Bowl. For some reason, we went through transition, and they decided where they weren't going to send us to New York, New Jersey. But now we're back on the map, and I'm glad it's in my hometown.
Yeah, what is it? What is the one thing, if you said you've got to do this when you're in Phoenix for this week, understanding the time restrictions that we've got, what would you
now do? Did you bring your sticks?
I did not bring the sticks.
All right, there's this place called Topgolf. You ever heard of it?
No.
Topgolf, it's located in Gilbert and also Scottsdale, and it's basically a place where you can go rent a bay, and it's you're playing golf, and it's target golf, and it's you can drink, you can have, I mean, you can invite, you know, other people with you. It's a great thing to do. It's only going to get up to 70, 75, I think, this week, so it's not going to be too warm. But it's three levels, and it's really been taken off here. It's a great thing to do just to kind of escape. And you only need a couple hours to do it.
So it's like target practice.
Yes.
So in other words, I have no chance at this.
Well, I mean, depending on how much you drink. Your shot may get better as
I'm mediocre on a good day.
Okay.
And then the alcohol comes in, and I can't see mediocre from here. So I'm not one of
these guys that
gets better with that.
Okay, that's fair. But if you had maybe 4 or 5 hours, I would recommend Sedona. It's just like an hour, 40 minutes from here. It's a great little trip up there. It's kind of like Red Rock Country. It's not the Grand Canyon, but it's kind of a different version of it.
Sure. We debated the Grand Canyon at 8 hours in the car, 4 hours each way.
Now, if you want to go skiing, you could ski up there.
Could you?
Yeah. There's ski resorts right now as you're going up to the canyon.
My knees can't get me up and down the stairs too
that's
well
like,
these days, brother.
75,000 feet over elevation, so that's where the Cardinals used to train up in Flagstaff, but that's where the Grand Canyon is, though.
It must be this desert air, Tony, where radio guys think we're just going to go off skiing,
right?
Hitting golf targets.
Oh, I don't hike or mountain climb or cliff dive.
Maybe
but there's a lot of things to do just because it's Our winters really are June, July, and August. That's when it's just hot. You really don't want to do anything outdoors.
Right.
But this is a time of the year where you got to enjoy the weather.
That's nice. It's
we have a great golf tournament coming up this week. Tiger Woods is making an appearance for the first time in 13 years. He changed his tour. So they get 600,000 over a course of 4 days. The television ratings, if he makes the cut, will obviously generate. But it's a big party out there. I mean, Kid Rock's playing on Friday. So there's a lot going on here with the Pro Bowl over the weekend. But this is our time to shine, really. And then we got spring training coming up where we have 15 teams that train here starting in March.
That's baseball for some of our audience.
Yeah, that is baseball. I was a little disappointed. I'm going by Chase Field. I'm like, man, I can't go watch a ball game this week. I'd really love to get that chance. And it's like you didn't know who you were talking to. You're talking to Mike and I about skiing and all this different stuff. We want to know where we can go, where's the best place to go get food here in Arizona, especially in Phoenix, because we're trying to find the spots.
All right. Now, the last time the Super Bowl was here, I thought it was disappointing. And with the NFL, and they've had some issues with the city of Glendale where the game is. So they basically pulled everything out of there to move it to downtown Phoenix.
Which I think is great.
Listen, the last time I was here, the weather wasn't very good. We didn't have a lot to do in the downtown area. So what they've done is they blocked off 12 blocks, calling it Super Bowl Central. You've seen that in previous Super Bowls where you try to generate some synergy inside the community. And so downtown Phoenix will be fine. But Scottsdale, Scottsdale's maybe a 30-minute ride. And there's a lot of great restaurants down there next to Scottsdale Fashion Square. That's where ESPN's doing their little gig down there. Dan Patrick's show is in Glendale, so DirecTV's out there. But everything is in downtown Phoenix. So there's a lot of great restaurants, depending if you want Mexican food, depending on the theme. But I would recommend Scottsdale. And make sure you give yourself enough time because it usually is a half-hour, 45-minute ride.
Bro, we're done at about 54 minutes from now.
Oh, you guys are going to do some day drinking then.
Oh, yeah. We got a good fun day ahead. We got to work the rest of the week, but not so much on Monday afternoon. Mike Jarecki here with us, Fox Sports 910 in Phoenix. I presume there were a lot of Cardinal fans in attendance at the Pro Bowl last night. Tony and I went to the game.
You are correct.
And, boy, do they not love those division rival Seahawks.
Well, I mean, it was the Niners initially. And when the Cardinals, under Ken Wisenhunt, when they won to the Super Bowl in 2008 and then won the division title again the following year and they got knocked out in the divisional round against the Saints, that's when Warner got tattooed and he never played again. So what happened is when you start looking at it, it seemed like ever since the Cardinals built that stadium, it sold out 95 straight games. And so you had the Niners that the Cardinals were really battling with for the division titles. Well, now it's Seattle. And they realize in order for them to win the division, they're going to have to beat the Seahawks. And they didn't fare very well this year, obviously injuries and a third-string quarterback. So what I was told is the Cardinals have about a 56,000 base when it comes to season ticket holders. It holds 63, so you don't need a crazy walk-up. I think between 40 and 45,000 last night were Cardinals season ticket holders. I was also told that when the season tickets came out, you can purchase the Pro Bowl for the same price that you would pay for a Cardinal game, and you can actually sit in your same seat.
Oh, wow, that's kind of cool.
That's cool, yeah.
So, I mean, let's be honest, they probably couldn't afford the Super Bowl per se. You know,
right.
Depending on a face value, it was starting at $800, and some are $1,900. Now, there's 5% of the tickets go to the host city, and they have a raffle or a lottery. So I thought when the season tickets came out, this is a great for people to go obviously get to the Pro Bowl. And so, yeah, there were a lot less. And they just don't like the Seahawks. And,
oh, my goodness. And they bring them up on the screen yesterday, and the roar was deafening to the point you couldn't hear a single word that was being said over the PA.
Well, I'll tell you what. Great. Last year they came in here on a Thursday night, and we were doing a show over here at Westgate, and literally they had taken over the entire Westgate, which is right outside the stadium. I mean, KJR was there from Seattle. Richard Sherman's mother was there. I mean, they had, literally between 13 to 15,000, and it was a Thursday night game. And the game was over probably in the third quarter. It was like 33 to 13. The next thing you know, they're on the NFL Network set, and the whole crowd is Seahawk fans. So that was Bruce Arians' big, you know, message this year. Don't let anybody change in your locker room.
Right.
Well, there's three locker rooms at the stadium, so no one's going to change in the Cardinals' locker room on game day. But this year, the AFC team is training at the Cardinals' facility, so the Patriots are going to be there. But there was some talk that could be the NFC team, and it would be the Seattle Seahawks changing in the Cardinals' locker room, and they would have a huge issue with that. So somehow, some way, the Patriots are now training at the Cardinals' facility, and the Seahawks are going to actually train at Arizona State University. Ray Anderson, former NFL VP, he is the athletic director there now.
Gotcha. Yeah, we all remember Eli Manning's breaking in the new Cowboy locker room and the visitor's locker room, right, with the graffiti on the wall.
You can only imagine
if they get in your own locker room what might go down.
Well, I was told if the Cardinals, and they got off to a great start, it was almost like two different seasons, but Bruce Arians was going to petition league that no one else was going to dress in that locker room. Obviously, it didn't work out when you have Ryan Lindley as your starting quarterback.
What uniform will Larry Fitzgerald be wearing next year? I guess if it's not a Cardinal uniform, it's hard to tell, but will it be a Cardinal uniform?
Well, if you had asked me this in the summer, I would have said he's not going to be back. $23.6 million. They owe him $8 million in March, so we'll know more in the next couple of weeks. I was told they want to offer him Anquan Boldin money, 2 years, $12 million. Now, Q's 2 years older than Larry, a little bit different player. Larry plays in the slot now. He's probably not as physical as Anquan Boldin. I think the Cardinals are willing to go up now, 2 years, $16 million. So I think he can get $8 million a year. Now, does Larry think he can get $10 million on the open market? And will someone give him a three-year deal? His numbers have declined. Now, a lot of it is the quarterback play. I know the owner wants to keep him. Now the matter is, does the head coach and GM want to keep him? I can tell you this, in training camp, I was told by a Cardinal official that he was the fourth option on offense. And I had to do a double take. That would be Ellington, Michael Floyd, John Brown, Larry Fitzgerald. That's what they thought of him. As the season progressed, they realized how much he meant to the offense, what he does, just his presence alone on the field. You have to defend him. So I think something could get done. Now it's a matter of, does Larry want to take a huge pay cut to stay here? I know that now Bruce Arians and Steve Keim, the general manager, they're on board. They want to keep him. Now it's a matter of, does Larry feel like he can get 3 years, $30 million from somewhere else? I don't know how feasible that is. So he's made $120 million in his career as an Arizona Cardinal. Does he take a pay cut? He's going to have to, because there's no way they're going to pay him $24 million.
And it's not like you'd be taking a cut to stay with a team that has little chance to win. They got a great chance to win if they get a healthy
Carson
Palmer back next year, right?
Yeah, so they got to get the offensive line. I mean, the running game, I thought they leaned on Andre Ellington too much. He was hurt the entire season. The guard play needs to get better. But, yes, a healthy Carson Palmer this year. Last year, they won 10 games. He was 7-2 in the second half. Completely, it took him about half the season to learn the offense. This year, he's 6-0 as a starter. 11 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. So he really was a difference maker. He wasn't making the mistakes that he did early on. So, yeah, I mean, it's possible, but you're going to have to deal with the Seahawks. And, you know, depending on when they pay Russell Wilson, they're not going to be able to afford everyone. But they still have their core. So I think Larry would like to stay. Now it's just a matter of, can he get $10 million in the open market? He's got a great agent in Eugene Park. I will say this. Larry also has a lot of endorsements in Phoenix. University of Phoenix Stadium he endorses. He endorses a credit union, local credit union. He couldn't do that if he left here. He also endorses for Visa. You could do that anywhere. So he makes between $2.5 and almost $3 million off the field in Phoenix.
Right.
So now I think you've got to add that into the salary, because I don't know if he can make that if he goes and plays with Team X.
Final thought, is Bruce Arians a wizard? Or, I mean, you know, with what they were able to do this year, with what they had at quarterback?
Well, I want to give Todd Bowles a lot of credit also. When they hired Bruce Arians, I thought, this guy's a little Denny Green. This guy's a little bit of, Buddy Ryan. This guy is more Bill Parcells. I mean, he has the ability to undress these guys on the field, but also when he was walking off and he's got his arm around these guys. They have an accountability board, and he will call anybody out. He's got a great coaching staff, 23 coaches. When Wisenhunt was here, they only had 19, so they're getting coached up. I thought they made a mistake, though, when they knew Stanton wasn't coming back. They should have brought in another quarterback besides Ryan Lindley. And towards the end, I thought maybe because of him and Tom Moore and Freddie Kitchens, I think ego-wise they thought they can get Ryan Lindley to play up to par. And I don't know if that was feasible. And I know there are guys on the street for a reason. So I give BA a lot of credit. He's won 21 games in the last 2 years. He's one of the lowest paid coaches in football. They're going to give him a huge raise coming up in, after the Super Bowl here, only close to $5-6 million a year. Now, Fisher's making $7 million in the division. Pete Carroll's making $7 million in the division. Harbaugh's making about $5 million. So I don't know if he's a genius, but I'll tell you what. He comes from Bear Bryant. I mean, this guy's old school. You've watched training camp before. Quick story for you. When the offseason comes here, the Cardinals have 90 players under contract. He takes 45, puts them on one field, takes 45 and puts them on the other. Third and fourth string over here, first and second string over here. And these guys get all these reps in the offseason. So when the season starts and the next man up theory works, they've already had their reps. I've been covering 5 or 6 different coaches in the last 20 years here. This is the first time I've ever seen anybody do that. Rookies don't even get reps besides draft picks or maybe an undrafted free agent. They don't get all those reps in practice. They're getting 1,000 reps just as much as the starters are. And if you're good, they'll move you from this field to the other field.
So basically they're running two camps almost, simultaneous.
And I was told Nick Saban does it at Alabama.
That's interesting. We'll have to talk to Gus Bradley about that whole concept.
It works. I mean, and so when those guys are called to play, I mean, without looking it up, I don't know if another team will have as many reps as the Cardinals coming out of training camp.
Yeah, that is interesting. If you're doing it simultaneously, you would think, obviously, the answer would be no on that. Mike Jarecki, Fox Sports 910 in Phoenix, longtime the go-to guy. I've always considered him out in the desert.
Well, I appreciate that. You're always kind to me. Thank you.
We appreciate the mayor of Radio Row stopping by and gracing us.
Welcome to Phoenix, guys. Have a
thank
great
you.
Week.
Thank you. I appreciate Mike also thinking that I'm agile enough to get up on a pair
of skis.
No, I'm
throwing it out there. Now, you guys going to go to the media party tomorrow night?
Cool. Oh, yeah.
Free food, free drinks, good scenery.
Cool. All right. Stop right there. Yes, absolutely. It's media. It's free. That's what the media is all about.
It's going
right?
to be out at the Bird's Nest.
I know.
And that's where the waste management
open.
Yeah.
Now, is this a big facility?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was curious about what it was going to be. You missed it last year in New York. New York had a full bowling alley in their media party. It was crazy with like 20 lanes in the middle of the media party. So,
well, the last time I was here, it was in a city called Levine. Like, I think you really can pull a horse up there. I don't know what our plans were when the Super Bowl was here last time. It was in Levine, Arizona. I mean, I don't even know where that's at.
Yeah. I don't think I actually went when it was because it was so far off the beaten path.
You made the right decision.
Everything was so spread out.
It was awful.
Oh, we're
so this time
up.
We'll get a chance to showcase Scottsdale, but. It'll be a good time tomorrow night.
We're blown out. Mike, good to see you, buddy.
Great, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Mike Jarecki, Fox Sports 910 in Phoenix here with us. All right, break coming up. We've got Father Nicholas Lowe from St. John the Divine. Got that squared away for the other side, folks. The tax season almost upon us. In today's economy, every dollar counts. That's why I trust certified public accountant Kevin Green. He handles all my returns. When you go to a CPA, the idea is you should be able to save as much in tax savings as their cost to you. Kevin's done that for me, and he's done a lot more, actually. He's offered preparation of all personal and business income tax returns, bookkeeping, payroll tax return services, you name it. And especially now with a lot of job changes that go along with the economy, people go from being W-2 employees to subcontractors. I did that. If you're a 1099 guy, you're afraid of the tax you may owe, do your change in status. Call Kevin Green at 332-6500, office centrally located across from Tinseltown, 4540 Southside Boulevard, Suite 303. That's 904-332-6500 for Kevin Green, CPA, the man I trust when it comes to tax time, and one of the guys responsible for our hotel and travel accommodations this week for Super Bowl 49. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live in the Phoenix Convention Center. Coming up later on this afternoon, Frank Frangie and Rick Blue will be in the same locale bringing you the sounds of Super Bowl 49 on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, Phoenix, Arizona Convention Center. Radio Row, Super Bowl 49 coming up later on this week. Frank and Rick will be along. Tony, I'm so on mountain time. I'm not even sure what time they'll be on. Their normal time is when they'll be on this afternoon. I think they're doing the full 4 hours today.
I think they are, and it's going to be one local, obviously 3 over there Eastern. You guys don't need to worry about what time it is.
That's right, so. 3 o'clock. They're just on when they're on. What am I even concerned with? It's not like the schedule has changed or anything. Now, Spice is doing the show tonight.
Yep.
Right? And you're going to check in with him?
I'll check in, let him know what's going on here at Super Bowl 49.
I got to make sure I buy you a handful of cocktails before that, to be sure. If it's anything, you should have heard me going on Sirius live from London in the middle of the night. Oh, man. That was many a pint deep.
Oh, yeah.
At that point in time. And you can get away with a lot on satellite radio. They still almost lost their license over me.
Oh, did they?
Back then. It's a sore subject. And tomorrow, you're doing the Fat Tuesday thing right here, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're
going to
be live.
Radio
Row?
8 to 10 tomorrow night, local. over there. I'll be 6 to 8 here and then go over to the media party. But, yeah, Fat Tuesday will be live here from Radio Row at Super Bowl 49 tomorrow night.
All right. So we'll be coming to you, you know, with a variety of shows all week long. And just looking at some of the guys coming in throughout the course of the week. And there will be many more on top of that. I know, like, a lot of – when you talk about the current guys, I mean, the Pro Bowl's here, so all these guys are already in town.
Yep.
And I know, you know, guys like Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham of the Saints are coming in. Basically, all the – that kind of level guy will be here. We'll try to grab a few of those guys throughout the course of the week as we fight for what we can get. And, you know, former players like LaDainian Tomlinson, Anthony Munoz, number of just a wide variety of Hall of Famers who sometimes have the best story because they're the crotchety guys who feel like the game is not what they used to play, Tony. What would they think of the Pro Bowl at
this point? Oh, my goodness.
I mean, they already think the NFL game is a sissified game as it is. The Pro Bowl became kind of a joke, like, all right, that long play Stafford to Golden Tate last night. Golden Tate basically, he was going to try to stop reverse field, and then he's like, nah, that's a lot of work.
Well, sure, and there was the play where Jamal Charles is on the sideline, and he cuts it back in between two defenders, and I'm like, there's no way you even try that in a regular season game.
Right, you get blown up.
Right. The guy coming from that angle is just going to kill you. And instead it's the Pro Bowl so he can get away with it. Look, the NFL, the Pro Bowl's been a joke for a long time, and now the NFL just keeps adding punchlines. I mean, they're the goalposts are thinner. You're having team captains pick teams instead of having AFC and NFC. We're not going to have any kickoffs. We're going to give teams two timeouts per quarter for some insane reason. And why not? Let's have a two-minute warning in the first and third quarters. I saw a quote from Andrew Luck that said, when asked about the two-minute warning in the first quarter, he was like, yeah, it was kind of neat, exciting for the fans. I was like, what are you talking about?
At no point did we even know what was going on. We're sitting there, we're like, huh, what quarter is it? What's happening on the field?
Right.
Why are there a bunch of mascots
exciting
on the field?
Exciting for the fans?
Chairs?
Another timeout is exciting for the fans. Do you realize what you just said?
I actually did like the skinny goalposts, and I thought if they really went with those, you would have to do something to adjust kicker scoring because 50 yarders on those little 14-foot wide goalposts,
yeah,
would be pretty damn challenging, actually. I mean, that looked kind of interesting. So they can experiment with some stuff, but come on, who do you root for? You know, at one point, Andrew Luck throws a touchdown to his teammate T.Y. Hilton, who's being guarded by his teammate Vontae Davis. I mean, you know, I don't get it.
And if you thought it was hard to follow on TV, just in that stadium, you couldn't tell who was who.
You had no hope.
Yeah.
You had no hope whatsoever. By the way, the uniforms, the greenish, yellowish, Oregon-looking, more Oregon-looking uniforms were okay. The other ones were some hideous Halloween costume gone bad.
Yeah, they got the orange.
That was not very attractive. All right, once again, we thank our friends at St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church who make the trip possible every year. And with that, let's talk to, again, a central figure who's right in the middle of making it possible. All right, time to take a few minutes here and talk about one of the groups that really makes it possible, and maybe the primary group that makes it possible for guys like Tony and myself to come out here from Jacksonville and cover the Super Bowl year in, year out. I'm talking about our friends at St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, our primary sponsors for the week here. You've gotten to know the face of the church, as we can refer to him, the voice of the church, Father Nicholas Lowe, through this program probably, and he's made a great impact on this community. He joins us once again on 1010XL. Father Nick, always great to see you. How you doing, man?
Doing great, Mike. It's always good to be with you too, brother.
It's football time, so I got to ask you, we'll start with a little football. I know you're with the rest of us, waiting for the Jags to get this thing where they need it to be. In the meantime, we got two teams left. We got New England. We've got Seattle. Do you have a rooting interest? Do you drum up a rooting interest for yourself to watch this game?
You know, I'm so excited about these two being in the Super Bowl for a number of reasons. But on a personal level, I'm excited because I used to live in Boston for some time, and to see the Patriots there are great, and I'm excited about that. I'm not too happy about the recent news about the Patriots, but I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be really an epic kind of battle between two teams that really – you see a team that with the Patriots that have had just a history between Belichick and Brady being together at so many different playoffs and Super Bowls, and then you see this new, young, rising, almost dynasty, seeing almost playing before our eyes with the Seattle Seahawks. And so I'm excited to see the game. I really am.
Is it true, in your professional opinion, if Belichick were to get some holy water spilled on him, would it burn? Well, how would that? What would the reaction be like?
I'll just refrain from comments on that.
My man, Father Nicholas Lowe, as a matter of fact, is accurate. This year we're raising money, as we try to do every year, through our appearances here on Radio Row. We encourage people to donate. They can go to the Facebook page for St. John the Divine, St. John the Divine Jacks on Facebook. Like the page. Every like increases our donation every year. We've been doing great work with the Ronald McDonald House, and we love those guys. But this year, we wanted to spread the love to an organization that's close to a lot of people, near and dear to our hearts here in Jacksonville, Wilson's Children's Hospital. To me, I tell people when they ask me about Wilson's, I say they saved my nephew's life. They saved his eyesight, saved his life. He had a brain tumor. It's fantastic work that they do over there. Why is this group in particular special to you, Father Nick?
Well, you know, Mike, our church family has had several dealings with Wilson's Hospital and their professionalism, their staff there, and what they're doing to help to transform the lives of young people who are battling, you know, tremendous diseases is exceptional. And for us this year, we really just want to take time, kind of spread the love as we were talking about earlier, and give something back to an organization, to a hospital that's doing so much to help to transform the lives of people here in our city.
Yeah, and it's a great tie-in because we do so much with the J Fund, and Wilson's provides so much of the care to those families that are stricken with childhood cancers. Right. And so there's a great synchronicity with all that stuff. You'd love for a day to come along where there wasn't a need for a place like Wilson's. That day will likely never come in anyone's lifetime. That's right. Just the nature of the world. But right. While you need them, it's great that you have right. A place like that.
And we're very fortunate here in Jacksonville to have Wilson's and Nemours here. And it's kind of piggybacks from helping with the Ronald McDonald House in previous years, just to kind of put some effort toward helping Wilson's because of what they do. And if you just spend any time at Wilson's Hospital, it's humbling to be there. It puts things in perspective real quick. But it also, you also see the professionalism and the staffing there that truly, to me, inspires me. And that's why we've made it a point to offer some of our services and our financial gifts towards them this year.
Great organization. We look forward to raising as much money as we can for them. We, on behalf of St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, will make a donation after our trip. And we encourage folks, again, you don't have to make a donation. If you go ahead and just like the St. John the Divine Facebook page, you get an inspirational message a day in your Facebook timeline from Father Nicholas himself. And every new like is going to raise additional funds for Wilson. So go do something that doesn't cost you anything. Takes you just a few seconds out of your day. If you want to write a check to Wilson's, nobody's going to stop you, or the Ronald McDonald House for that matter. A lot of great outfits here on the First Coast. The church itself, you guys have been with me. People here, you're kind of like the unofficial affiliation, religious affiliation of, in the past, the Mike Dempsey Show, Jaguars Today. You guys have been having a fundraising effort that's been going on for a few years now. Looks like you're finally ready to break ground on a new church building, right?
You know, God willing, by the end of this year, we'll start breaking ground. We've got a piece of property that we have between Kernan and Hodges on Beach Boulevard, and we've been taking our time trying to do as best we can be financially responsible with how we raise our funds. We just don't we want to make sure that when we're building this new church that we're building it in a way that kind of gives glory to God but also makes a difference in our city. We want this church to be an opportunity for people to kind of all different Christian traditions to feel welcome and comfortable to come in. So we've been taking our time with it, and God willing, by the end of this year, we should be able to break ground.
You guys have done some cool stuff. And look, St. John of the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, you don't have to be Greek to go to St. John of the Divine, okay? A lot of people experience the church through the Greek Open Golf Tournament, for instance, that we've been able to hook people up with in the past. The Greek Festival is coming back to Jacksonville. I know you're excited about this. People can find out more by going to jacksgreekfest.com online, and you can click and get to their Facebook page from that page as well. Tell us, you got to be excited about this coming up in April.
We are. You know, I was born and raised here in Jacksonville, and I grew up with the Greek Festival being so much part of our city's entertainment, and to see it back after 14 years almost of not having one, I'm more excited about it. So it'll be at the end of April, April 23rd, 24th, and 25th at the Jacksonville Fairgrounds, and it's just going to be a lot of fun and fellowship together, and we encourage people to come out there. And a portion of the proceeds that we make from the Greek Festival will also go to Wilson's Hospital, so we're excited to kind of team up with Wilson's on the Greek Festival as well.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's coming up April 23rd through the 25th, but go to jacksgreekfest.com. You're going to get all the details on how you can participate, how you can sponsor it, how you can just go and enjoy all the events, and again, in the process, raising money for Wilson's. Once again, a great cause. Father Nicholas, I love this week. It's my favorite week of radio. I love going to the Super Bowl, and I can't thank you on behalf of all your parishioners enough for the support you've given me over the years, not just during these weeks, but these trips for me would not be possible with the support of St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church. You've been a great resource and asset to the community, certainly to me personally. I consider you a friend. It's been great getting to know you very well, I think, over these last few years. Again, sincere appreciation for everything you guys do, and I know Wilson's is going to appreciate it. You make an imprint on the community. I hear about you from folks that know you for nothing other than listening to your messages on my show, and I think you're appreciated probably more than you even realize. So thank you once again, and please pass that along to all the great folks at St. John the Divine.
I sure will. Thank you so, Mike. It's been a pleasure just being with you and spending time over the last several years trying to make a difference in our city. And so thank you for the opportunity.
Well, he stayed neutral on the Belichick holy water question. We'll let him off the hook on that one. He's a good man. Father Nicholas Lowe here with us again. A couple of things we're going to ask. Go to the Facebook page of St. John the Divine. It's St. John the Divine Jacks. Look that up on Facebook. Just like the page. Every new like that we get throughout the week is going to raise additional funds. We're going to make a nice donation at the end of the week as well to Wilson's Children's Hospital on behalf of St. John the Divine and Jaguars today. And check out JacksGreekFest.com. Coming in April, make your plans for that. Experience the fun and the culture of the Jacksonville Greek community here, and it is a strong and thriving one. So there you go. On behalf of Father Nicholas Lowe, we will continue live from Phoenix, Arizona. The Phoenix Convention Center. Fat Tony joins me again, rejoins me in just a moment as we kick off our week of coverage of Super Bowl 49 right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today, live from Super Bowl 49 in Phoenix, Arizona, is brought to you by St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, proud supporter of Wolfson Children's Hospital on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Hey, Wild West Guns and Gold Monday continues Monday from Super Bowl 49 Radio Row in the Phoenix Convention Center. Travel and hotel accommodations brought to you by many. Our primary sponsor for the week, St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, as we raise money all week for Wilson's Children's Hospital. We thank all the folks there at St. John the Divine for making that possible. And you as well, just like their Facebook page at St. John or St. John the Divine Jacks on Facebook. And every like will increase the donation at the end of the week. And we've been doing, I feel, some pretty good stuff the last few years, raising money for the Ronald McDonald House. We'll do that for Wilson's again. So many good causes out there, and we like to focus in on one every week for Super Bowl week. Tony, talking with Mike Jarecki briefly before mentioning golf, kind of made me think it's kind of that time. It's time to get down to business for me. If I'm going to get clubs this year, which I'm seriously considering, I'm going to go to Golf Tech. I'm going to get fitted.
Right.
And I'm going to do it right. I haven't bought clubs in nearly 10 years. I've only bought one set brand new, you know, pieced together clubs over the years. So I may, you know, if I get a set that's going to last me maybe into my retirement kind of set, right? So
right.
I want to get it done right. Golf Tech's got the training camp going on right now, which is really basically a three-month long head start on everything you need to be prepared for golf season. They're going to break you down with fact-based diagnosis. They're video analyze your swing. You're going to get sequential lessons that you build one on top of another to reinforce what you've already learned. You're going to get video-based practice, advanced retention tools. You're going to have 24/7 access to your golf lesson history, past swing videos, practice drills that reinforce every improvement that you're doing. And they're going to precision match you with a set of clubs, all for one low price. The way to do it, call Golf Tech. Get on board with those guys. They do a fantastic, fantastic job. We'll tell you all about them throughout the course of the week as well. But it's a place I'm going to go to get myself fitted for, who knows, I hate to think it was my last set of clubs. My next set of clubs. That's a good way to
look. Don't use last, use next.
Next for the next 10 years or so. Pete Prisco in the building. We might be able to grab a few minutes with Pete before we get out of here if it times out properly. We'll see how that whole situation breaks down. What are you looking forward to the most this week?
I'm curious with, look, it's the first time in a while that we got a Super Bowl with two really experienced teams coming into it, maybe since the Patriots and Giants, the second time that those two teams got together. But the Seahawks have an opportunity to kind of put their stamp on a new kind of era in the National Football League if they can knock off. I mean, you're talking about potentially a team knocking off Peyton Manning and Tom Brady in back-to-back Super Bowls. And if there are two people who more represent the last 20 years in professional football, I don't know who they are. And the Seahawks have the opportunity to knock off both those guys in the Super Bowl. I think that's a really interesting story for this week, and that's beyond just all the little things we'll be talking about throughout the week, as guys like Richard Sherman have started running their mouth a little bit, and the Seahawks aren't a team that are going to back down from any kind of conversation or controversy throughout the week, and Deflategate just raises that bar exponentially as we get ready for media day tomorrow.
Well, you see Richard Sherman, he says Goodell's in bed with the Kraft family,
yep.
And, it's conflict of interest and nothing's going to happen with this. I saw Tom Brady on this morning on SportsCenter, and Chris Berman's asking him, have you been talked to by the NFL? And he said, no, they're not going to talk to me. They're not going to talk to me until after the season, is the way he put it. Well, we knew this, right? But how do you defend this if you're the NFL? They cheated, if they cheated, okay? I don't know, let's say for
sake of the conversation. You're trying to determine if they cheated.
If they cheated during the playoffs,
right.
Why should the punishment be deferred until next season, right? I mean, if there is going to be one, but, you know, the NFL last week said they had interviewed like 40 people. Who the hell are these 40 people that
right.
they're talking to? If apparently none of the players have been talked to at this
know.
Point in time, I don't know how many ball boys there are. How many people are in charge of touching those footballs? Not many.
No.
Tom Brady's one of them. And it just seems odd. And you know what's going to happen? The NFL are, for the most part, they've been masters of PR. It was the worst PR year they've had in a long, long time. But that's not for lack of trying. It probably would have been worse if they're not working so hard behind the scenes to continue to craft the message about, quote, the shield. And look, I get it. I love the NFL. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But at the same time, it drives me crazy with some of the lip service that they give to certain issues. And then they say one thing, they act another way. In this case, they're waiting, I think. Obviously, Super Bowl is going to die down. They're going to try to bury this. I would expect an announcement will be made whenever it gets made, about a 4 o'clock Eastern time on a Friday afternoon. And there'll be some fine announced, and who knows, maybe a mid-round draft pick. I doubt anybody's going to get suspended in the sum total of this.
You know, in the end, Mike, for me, it just feels like the NFL is so inconsistent on where they want to draw the battle lines on anything. You know, we talked about it earlier, but with the uniforms and with something like this and the conduct policy and all the different things that they do, there is this disconnect between what they do and what they say. If that makes sense. Like, you don't feel any kind of consistency from what the NFL does to penalize anybody. I mean, they're investigating this after the season. Why? Why should this wait?
To not take away preparation time? How long would it take to interview Tom Brady? He could go on SportsCenter and talk about it.
Yeah.
Is that not a distraction? He can't have a 15-minute conversation about what do you know about this, and whether you believe his answers or not, get him on the record. Here
right.
it is. I mean, why is this so hard? But it seems too logical to do it that way. Whatever the case. I mean, I like a lot of people. I'm overly fatigued by the story.
Sure.
But it is a story because it does impact the integrity of the game, potentially, and it needs to be resolved one way or the other. And it's the second time, and coincidentally enough, maybe the Patriots are going to vote for the Super Bowl not coming back here, because
right.
every time it's in Arizona, apparently this is what happens.
And I guess
I
get what the NFL wants. They want their guys to represent the shield, whatever the heck that means. They want their guys to represent the shield. Look, there is nothing that big, as much money as changes hands with the NFL, not only from just a team perspective for ownership and licensing and the TV contracts, nothing that moves money the way the National Football League does, the way that any of these major sports organizations in this country, including the NCAA, does with football. Nothing that moves money like that is clean. You know, I mean, it's not going to be completely clean, because when there's that much money involved, there are things that, and that doesn't mean that they're fixing games or anything like that. What it means is, when you have that much money involved, you're not going to have guys that live clean lifestyles playing your game.
The image isn't always going to meet the reality.
Right. And the NFL wants it to, and it never will.
I don't even know if they want it to so much as they want the image to be unbroken.
That they're trying.
Right, right. That they, I think, to me, the image to them is more important than the reality in a lot of ways, and that's probably true of a lot of aspects of life.
If the Ray Rice story didn't tell you that.
Sure.
You know, if it didn't tell you that the NFL was very worried about their image.
Right. When you know, here was the punishment, and then went, uh-oh, now it looks worse. Now we got to do something stronger about this because it appears we weren't strong enough on it the first time around. Anyway, you know what? I'm glad we're not going to really, at least for us, hopefully have to belabor that story anymore. Hopefully it cycles out by tomorrow because it will come up, I'm sure, at media day. You make a great point, by the way, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's record against these top quarterbacks, absolutely
10-0.
Ridiculous.
He's 10-0 against a quarterback that has won a Super Bowl.
Pretty amazing.
That's crazy.
It's absolutely amazing, and it doesn't look like Pete's going to get done. He's talking to some station down in Miami. We'll catch up with him at some point in this week, but he continues to beat the drum that Russell Wilson's nothing but a glorified game manager as far as that goes. By the way, on the way out, I'm going to sound like the old guy in some part, but what the hell happened to ESPN News? I mean, I don't have ESPN News on my cable system. Haven't had it for years. Used to have it. In fact, I used to have such a basic cable system, and one of the things I got on it was ESPN News, and it was, I thought, the best channel, so it gave me everything I wanted in 30 minutes. And when it was hockey season, it gave me everything I wanted in about 22 minutes, because hockey would always be at the end,
right.
And I'd just watch the first 20 minutes, and I'd know all the major stories of what's going on. And that's what it went. It was a constant cycle. Every 30 minutes, that's all you got, Tony. And then they started, I guess, branching out, hey, live coverage of this press conference on ESPN News. Okay, I get that. That's newsy. And today, I turned on the TV in the hotel this morning, and they're doing a feature on Marshawn Lynch, like one of those lifestyle features.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, this is actually pretty interesting because you don't hear much from Marshawn Lynch. This is not what I want on ESPN News. I want to be able to consume the world of sports in 30 minutes and get the headline story and feel like I'm caught up and I know what's going on and everything. So, I don't know. It probably changed a long time ago. That's why I feel like the old guy. I just didn't notice.
MTV doesn't play music
anymore.
They
don't play videos. I remember the day when they used to play. That does it for us, for the most part, here, Radio Row, Day One. Thanks to Mike Jarecki from Fox Sports 910 in Phoenix for stopping by. Thanks to Ryan O'Halloran for the Florida Times Union for stopping by. Father Nicholas Lowe, and thanks to everybody at St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church who make this trip possible every year. Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, from revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold meets or beats any gun shop's price in the United States of America, and that is guaranteed. Guns4Jax.com. Guns, the number 4, JAX.com is the website. They're located on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. 693-0777 for our Monday sponsor, Wild West Guns and Gold. Frank and Rick coming up live from Phoenix this afternoon. Oh, we've got Joe C. Hacker and T-Wig with XL Primetime coming up in mere minutes right here on 1010 XL. Tomorrow I'll be with you for the early part of the show. Bolton over from Media Day. I know you'll have some guests that we've already got lined up for tomorrow. We'll find out what the full lineup is tomorrow morning here on Jaguars Today. And then Wednesday we'll hear from whoever we get a chance to catch up with at Media Day tomorrow, and we'll see how the rest of the week goes live from Phoenix. All right, that does it for us today. Thanks to Tyler Devitt back in Jacksonville for Fat Tony, for all the aforementioned guests. I'm Mike Dempsey wrapping things up. Listen for Frank and Rick coming up this afternoon right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.